I'm going to wait for Master James up there. All right, got the thumbs up. First of all, I want to welcome everyone that is here tonight. And those that are listening throughout the website, I want to thank you for logging on. I think that this is going to be a really good evening. I'm only here with Pastor Kurt and myself, and we can really dig deep into some stuff. One thing I want to continue to add is what we're doing is this year for 2018, we are really pursuing how to enter into the kingdom of God and what it is to be in the kingdom of God. And this is our gospel. This is the message that we need to bring out. And also for 2018, I feel that we need to also get our listeners to understand how important it is to become spiritually minded and be able to see spiritually and not just be so carnally minded and be caught up in the carnal realm. Life is in the spirit, and life, that's where we really find our life, in the spirit and in the kingdom of God, or on the path to the kingdom of God, or entering to the kingdom of God. That was the goal that God intended for us since the beginning of time, for us to be transformed into the realm of the spirit. To be outside of the realm of the spirit, we're fondling around, lost, dazed and confused, operating in the soul nature, trying to find ourselves with our reasonings of our mind. We spoke on Sunday, if you can log on, try to get a hold of it, the message. We spoke about time and the realm. And you need to understand that there are two realms, and time doesn't really exist other than the natural. Natural, you have time. You have time waking up in the morning. You have time that you have to be at a certain place every day or what have you. Or, you know, you have appointments, whatever. But our whole life revolves around time. You got lunch. You got breakfast. You got dinner. I mean, you got all these things, even television shows, you know. I know we got some favorite ones, me and my girls, you know. We're like, oh, I can't wait to the, you know, The Voice. But anyhow, yeah. But with that being said, everything revolves around time in the natural. But in the spirit, there is no time. Time is actually an eternity. There is no real solid base time. It's an existence of our presence, past and future. But besides that, there are realms. And those realms consist on where you place your thoughts or where your heart is. And it depends on where you want to be. And when Jesus said, I may be in the world, but I'm not of the world, he was saying, I'm not of this realm because my heart and my mind aren't focused on the things that everybody else is hustling and bustling about, but I'm trying to find my purpose and path that God has laid out for me. I'm trying to find my life. And so he went on his journey and found his life. But the life that we are trying to tell our listeners is within. And it really has to do with our heart or our feelings of our heart, our emotional feelings in the sense of peace and joy and righteousness. The other side of the emotional feelings, when you're worried and you're afraid or what have you, then you're operating in the soulish side of life, and that only leads to destruction. So we got to be careful about how we're going to live the life. Today, I want to focus a little bit about spiritual warfare. And why I say about spiritual warfare is because you need to understand how to operate in warfare so that you don't divert off the path and give in or quit and then just tend to follow the thoughts and the patterns of what you call your life when God has laid a life out for us. And I'll lay out an example. We understand that fear and worry. God doesn't want us to worry and he doesn't want us to fear. He wants us to enter into what we call perfect love. And perfect love casts out all fear. So when you put all your trust and love in the higher power of the universe, God or creator, however you want to lift him up, you are subduing, I guess you can say, fear and worry because you're putting a higher power that has might on top of that, asking for help. And so that is just a part of understanding spiritual warfare. Now, our thoughts are always constantly attacking us. How many people would agree with us that are here just tonight? And those thoughts, most of the time, are negative. 99.9%. I mean, it's like you got 1% that actually becomes a little bit of a positive thought, maybe because of something good happened, and right away, ooh, it's going to be a good day. But then the negatives start coming in. And this is where the spiritual warfare starts. Now, we know as pastors, we've been rooted and grounded in this ministry now for over 18 years, you know, plus it could say. And we have been rooted and grounded in the truth. And we know that the enemy, darkness, has no authority over us unless our Father in heaven has given it to him. So we accept whatever comes our way. And I want our listeners to understand that. But that's because we are rooted and grounded in the relationship that we have with our Creator, our God, our Father. But I want to talk to the ones that don't have that relationship, because they're still trying to build a trust or a knowing that God has control over their life. They don't have that yet. Mm-hmm. So what happens is when the thoughts come in, they entertain them. They begin to basically have a relationship with them. And those thoughts really lead them to a point of destruction. But these voices in their minds and in their hearts, because their hearts become troubled, they believe them. They've been there for so long, and it's a comforting thought all the time. Not in a way of, oh, it'll be okay, but it's a familiar voice. You've been listening to it all your life, and you don't understand that that voice is really trying to destroy you. And what begins to take place is you have a tight relationship with those thoughts, mm-hmm. and you believe them no matter what anybody else says. You tend to believe them and embrace them. Well, this is where the spiritual warfare has to come into play. You need to recognize negativity. You got to recognize thoughts that tend to make you think bad, like it'll never work, it'll never happen. Because you need to connect into the heart. And if your heart is saying one thing, that you want to succeed, or you want to be able to do this, or you want to be able to do that, you need to believe in what you want. That's why we always say you have to be honest with yourself. If you're not honest with yourself, then you're going to embrace these thoughts that are in your mind that you're so familiar with. And I always say the older we get, the harder it is, because the thoughts get so more familiar, and they become your best friends, and your thoughts are so strong, and no one can tell you anything different, and everybody else is against you. We have to understand that those still small voices that come in like an angel of light, that make you feel comforted, even though that they're not comforting you, all they do is create havoc, is what we need to begin to be aware of.
Cast out. The small voices become giants if you let them. And a lot of people out there, most people out there, don't understand the spirituality of it.
No, they take it as a nature.
That's, right, and that's them. Who they that's are. Them. And, exactly and then right. when it becomes into the world, in the truth, there'll be compassion, there'll be mercy, there'll be joy, there'll be peace, there'll be love. And just take being in the business world. And if you follow, God will bless you through that, knowing who God is. But when you fall short, and I just saw this week, and I just found out about it, an individual who's very high, has very high
clout.
clout, yes, politically and business-wise. Put himself up on a pedestal where he doesn't listen to anybody else, and he put him, and people have put him up on a pedestal as a god, I'm going to say. And I've seen his wife bad, very bad health-wise, very bad, and just found out his daughter is dying. That's not by coincidence. It's not. It's something we have to look at spiritually to put God above everything. I'm a firm believer in this, for your health, for your family's finances, for everything that you do in life. If we put God first, he will take care of you. It's a humbleness and a brokenness in you to understand that God is above you and you can't do anything unless God allows it. If you can come to that place, your health will be restored. That's why in the Bible it says, I'll add years to you.
Mm-hmm.
God will. But if you do not, if you're out there and you got, it feels like you're on top of the world and all of a sudden all hell's breaking loose, this is the reason. Because you have not put God above anything, above everything.
Yeah, and these are like repercussions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of what happens when you fall into the trap mm-hmm. of the enemy or mm-hmm. you're captured.
Yep. That's what I was saying about them becoming giants.
Yeah.
Because it's a small voice in the beginning. And then all of a sudden, like you're saying, you entertain it. And all of a sudden, these thoughts grow. And then they become larger than life. They become monsters. They're giants. And then they become your God.
And not only do they become giants and your God, but they're there to destroy you. Oh,
absolutely. Absolutely.
They're set up for destruction.
Yeah.
They're set up for destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what it is important for our listeners to understand, because what also tends to happen is it covers you with guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you feel like you're all alone. No one understands. And this power, this dark power, which is, we're so easily ensnared in, is like a comforter.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, the soul connects to this thing, and we love it. Maybe you can look at it as we love ourselves. I don't know, but
it's attention. You get attention through it. It's messed up.
It's horrible. I've seen a lot of people be destroyed over them. They're good people.
Everybody
they're good
is.
People.
Yeah.
They have great hearts. Their intentions are well. But because of these things, some of the stuff that comes out of their mouth, pure lie. It's almost like, who told you this? You see? And, you know, and then you can test them. You know, you can say, okay, let me see you go ahead and say that, or let me see you go ahead and do that, and then they're not able to. But anyhow, that's a whole different story. But the whole concept that I want to try to come across tonight, how important it is to understand that there is warfare. And we need to have warfare over our eternal life or over our life. If you really want a life, this is how you get it. If you want to just pass time and wait until you die, then this message might not be for you, because you might be complacent, or you might not even care about your well-being. You might not even care about anybody around you. You might be so self-centered.
Mm-hmm. That's all just a selfishness.
Because those voices have made you that way.
Yeah.
It's not like you've been that way.
You became that.
You became that way. And because they have made you so self-centered, you don't care if you destroy your own life.
Yeah.
You don't care. You don't care. Even though you might say out of one side of your mouth, oh, you know, I want to do this and I want to do that and I love this and I love that and all this other stuff. But then on the other side, your actions, and the other side of your mouth is, I don't care. I don't care.
The heart. Yeah. It's the heart.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it gets to the point where it gets so bad by the guilt and the shame and all these things that are put on you, and it starts like a little leaven. It could start out with your appearance, the way you look. Maybe you might have like a little speech impediment or a little thing that maybe you're shy, you know, and then the voices come in and nobody understands you. Nobody, you know, can receive that or whatever. It begins to start empowering itself as if it's your best friend. And these are the things that we have to break off or break away or begin to warfare. And the warfare is to realize the negativity. And that's really where it begins. Mm-hmm. I used to say this to Pastor Sam, because he would come off and say some stuff, and he's not here, and I wish he was here because I would love to ride him right now. But he's not here. He had some other business to take care of or something like that. But we'll keep him in our prayers. But I used to say to him, who told you that? Where'd you get that from? Who told you? Why are you thinking that way? Where did that come in? Mm. Why are you thinking that way?
Getting to the root of it.
Yeah. So that they can begin to say, you know what? You're right. Because really, nobody told me. I thought this up. Mm-hmm. Well, not really. You didn't think this up. What happened was the darkness that is encamped so easily there to destroy your life. See, this is why this gospel is so important. Because for one, you're not a child of God. And because you're not a child of God, the door is opened for you to be a child of the dark world. Mm. That's just the way it is. That's why people need to accept the fact that there is a God. Now, you can say that there is a God, but your heart is not really saying there's a God. Well, I'll get you right there. That's an open door. God can't protect you. He really can't protect you in that area, because you're really not saying that God is God. You're not. And there are a lot of people out there that profess that they know God, or they think they know God, and their heart is so far from them. Well, that leaves the door open for darkness. Humility, like you said earlier, you spoke about that gentleman with pride and put him up on a pedestal. That's instant fall for destruction. Mm-hmm. But humility is what closes the door. And I want everyone to understand, humility is the door closer for darkness to try to enter into your heart. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as you begin to start bringing humility, what you're really doing is you're like crying out for the higher power or the universe.
I can't do this anymore, God. You got to take over.
I need help.
Yep.
Yep. And you're crying out. But it's a spiritual cry that only God's ears hear. And when you get to that point, that's why I always said, you need to be sick and tired of being sick and tired for this gospel to actually take effect in your life. Because if you're not sick and tired and sick and tired, the darkness will not allow you to receive this gospel. Because it's too much truth. Darkness's job is to destroy your life, period. Literally, take everybody down to hell. Take them to that pit. That's what darkness's job is. And it's fluent throughout everybody. The world don't know this. The world don't understand. You know what they know? It's me, and I have to survive in this world.
I got to deal with it.
Yep. And they're empowered by their own willpower. They're empowered by their own thoughts and their creativity. But they don't understand what's being mixed and intertwined inside of that.
Because you hear people say, oh, he's such a strong man. Look at all the stuff that he can handle, and it's like, whew. But usually, the interesting thing, like we're talking about darkness, and what's coming to me is usually a traumatic experience in someone's life, where darkness thinks that they have somebody in a traumatic experience, that will actually break somebody to come to God.
Sure, sure. And, you know, sometimes those dramatic experiences need to come to find salvation for those people.
Amen. Happened to me.
Hey, look, I met some people before, and the way I would minister to them, I would minister in a way where they would say, oh, my God, I can't even believe you told me that, you know? But I would say, well, let them OD.
Yeah.
You know? Well, you know what? Don't go running after them. Let them find out what it's like. Let them go.
Yeah.
You want a drink?
Yeah.
Go in the bar. Go get drunk. And they say, how could you possibly give that type of advice? That's probably the best advice that could ever, ever happen to that individual.
I remember an instance when you did that years ago. And because the individual has to experience that to know that that's not what they really want.
Exactly right.
And if they don't, they're always going to hold on to that, to say that, oh, I wish I still would have done that. That urge and that thing would still be attached to them.
Mm-hmm.
Until you let that thing go, and the only way you can let it go is if you experience that.
Yeah, and then find out the truth.
And that's not what you wanted.
How it's not going to help.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I can go off and share all types of examples of how darkness and even the patterns of this world intertwine with one another.
Mm.
Because for one, the patterns of this world would be like, oh, no, you have to take that individual in and you have to, like, let them abuse you and use you. And you have to, you know, because you're the mother, or
you're a Christian.
Yeah, or you're a Christian.
Yeah,
you can't do that.
Right.
You know, and then they end up getting so hurt. The person doesn't change. It makes them worse. They just trample all over you, take more of an advantage, and then they grow more and more in that realm of pain.
Hmm.
Because that's really what it comes down to, pain.
Yeah.
Whether they had to start out with a little imperfection, and then the still small voice came in and fed that imperfection and made you feel like you weren't worthy, and then started making you think all this guilt and shame and condemnation, and then next thing you know, they're hurt. And that's the root of most individuals, like that gentleman that you spoke about that put himself up on a pedestal, I bet you he was a hurt kid when he was younger. Started tasting a little bit of power.
Oh, yeah.
Started taking it over to his, and went to an extreme, made it like out of control.
Yep. And then people kept feeding it and feeding it. You're the best, you're the greatest.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then it went too far to the point. And it didn't start out with humility.
Yeah.
It started out with pain. Somewhere along the line, there was a root of pain there and made that person get to that point.
And probably his life looked all roses. Mm-hmm. Everything was going. And then all of a sudden, slowly but surely, you just see the life just falling apart.
Well,
everything around him.
Interesting that you said that, because that's how darkness works.
Mm-hmm.
They throw blessings in, which we would think that they're blessings. They would throw opportunities there where you think that you're doing good, when the reality is you're not.
Hmm.
You know, I remember Jesus,
with the devil.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly
share
what I was going
to. Share
that story. When I was just going to go, that's when Jesus was in the desert with the devil, and he was like, you can have this, you can have that, and he said, no, I don't want it. And that's what he was doing. He was doing warfare, because those lies and that little thing was coming into his head, saying, oh, man, you can be all this and all that, and you can have this and you can have that, and he wanted no parts. The only thing he wanted was a relationship with the Father.
Yeah, he wanted to follow the conviction
of his heart.
Yep. And hopefully our listeners will grab hold of this gospel message that we're sharing so that they can come to the true life that's inside of them. You know, there's a lot of people who, you know, get on that path and then darkness just pulls them right off the path. Yeah. They start on it and then they go right back to where they...
Vomit?
I didn't want to say it, but yeah, they go right back to their vomit. Yeah. It looks like vomit.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that they're coming out of a miry pit. You know, they're coming out of a muddy pit, and then for some reason they go right back into that muddy pit. Because they can't do the warfare. This is why it's so important that you need to get connected with another individual or several other individuals that, you know, are strong and understand spiritual warfare so that they can help you through what you're going through. You need help. You can't do it on your own.
No.
You know, it's almost like those people out there that ever experienced intervention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unfortunately, it's the right direction. At one point, they get the whole family to sit down and basically say, listen, if you're not doing this, we're cutting you off.
Yeah.
So you call it tough love, you know? And sometimes tough love is needed. But you don't have to get to that point.
No.
You know, if you knew the truth, you don't have to get to tough love. You don't have to get to that point where you throw all these threats and everything else out there and maybe even throw the person out and see what it's like on the other side or what have you.
The only thing that I can think of right now is just make sure you're honest with yourself.
Oh, yeah, that's a big, that's a big place.
That's a big one. You got to be honest and truthful.
Well, that's how the darkness... Okay, because we're going to call it darkness during this conversation about spiritual warfare because it is light against dark, and light wants your life and, you know, to be into the kingdom of God or on the right path. Darkness wants to take you off and put you into a pit, and it's, you know, fiery, burny pit, right. You know. But, you know, when we don't discern those voices, we're going to be in problems. We're going to be in trouble, and we're not going to have a life. And sad to say, there are a lot of people out there that are living a life, and they're just complacent, and they're decaying. You know, you have to ask yourself. I know that there are levels of having a life. There's levels. And it depends on what life you really want to have. That's really what it comes down to. What life do you want?
You want one with peace and joy? Or do you want one in hell? It could be the same type of life, just different circumstances in it. You trust in God, you'll have peace, you'll have joy. Or you can not have peace and joy and go through the same circumstances in hell. The outcome sometimes will be the same, but you'll go through it a little easier than you would if you didn't have God in your life.
Need God.
Yeah. But the warfare, the casting down the lies and all that stuff is definitely a key, just especially in the beginning.
You know,
the
we
littlest
need,
things.
We need God, but you know what else we need? Training.
Hmm. Well,
this is training.
Yeah, and casting down these lies in the darkness is definitely part of training.
Yeah. God says, my children suffer and they're destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Hmm. There's no training. That's what this ministry offers. This ministry offers a gospel message to train you. The sad thing about it is people don't take our training. Why? Why don't they take the training? I don't understand. Why? I've seen people suffer over and over and over, and I say to myself, why? What is it? Why? I don't understand. There's no need for this suffering. There's no need.
We've seen a lot of people come in to the ministry and seen drastic changes in their lives where, trust me, we don't control anybody. We just watch God work. And I've seen guys that were the man's man be knocked to his knees in God and come out and be, you would think, it's an easy thing, but it's not. It's very hard. It's a difficult thing. But when you do know the truth, it becomes easier when you're trained properly.
Yeah.
And it's actually an easier life. And you don't have the stress of the world. You have, like Pastor Jim always says, there's concerns, but you're not fearful. Do you get afraid sometimes? Absolutely. You do. We're human.
Afraid to the point where you're deeply concerned.
Concerned, yes. We're not going to say, oh.
Yeah.
Listen, I sleep like a rock every night for 6 to 8 hours every night.
Mm-hmm.
And before I came in this ministry, I was up 2 or 3 times a night. And that was before I even had kids.
Yeah, keep sharing.
You know? So in this truth.
My chair broke.
Oh. You can have a life, a better life than what you have now. Everybody thinks so because of God. This isn't a religious thing. This is just a way of life, a better life, a healthier life, actually. I don't care if you're eating cheesesteaks every night. You're going to have a better life because you're not going to be stressing. Because a lot of people eat the cheesesteaks because, I'm so worried I got to eat it. I'll eat a cheesesteak just because I want a cheesesteak. You know, but there's not, the stress of life falls off. It really does. It's a calmer life. It's do things attack you? Absolutely they do. But I'll tell you what, in a quicker way, in an earnest way, you take a step back and you say, okay, Lord, that's them. I'm not going to receive this. That's on them. They're the ones going through this. I didn't do anything wrong. And that's a place where you have to come to, that you didn't do anything. And that's what this ministry teaches. You haven't done anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't. And even if it's an adult, an acquaintance, a relative, or whatever, that's telling you, you're blamed for this. Because I've heard people where, and I know somebody very close to me was born with a twin, and the twin passed away, and the parent said something to the surviving child that they were to blame.
Oh, that's another thing.
That's horrible.
You know, I'm glad that you brought that up because that could be the beginning of spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. If you had knowledge and understood, you would have simply said to these words, get behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
You don't have the mind of God.
They were a child when it was told to them.
Yeah, and that's, sad.
And as that grows, and I'm thankful for this ministry because I believe that person has gotten over that,
mm-hmm.
not buried it, but come to an understanding of that's who that individual is, and that they know that they don't have true love,
mm-hmm.
and can't give that love, and is accepting of it. Not that they like it, but they're accepting of it and they understand it. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just through this truth. Because I don't care where you go. I mean, even us speaking about Jesus in the desert, him casting things down, people can't grasp that from what the teachings they've been taught through the different religions out there. That Jesus was a man. He was a man, just like Jim, just like myself.
Yeah.
He was a man.
He was
and
a
if you look
prophet,
in Peter, he was a prophet. Yeah, amen. And we're just telling you the truth. If you look all through scriptures, there's scriptures all through the New Testament. Peter even says, Jesus, a man, just like me and you, that God did signs and wonders through.
That's in Romans, yes.
Or Peter, right?
No, Romans.
Romans?
Yep, Romans. But the bottom line is, you're absolutely right. And we need to understand that. What makes him the Son of God was no different than us. We
you being the Son of God.
Exactly right. And you have to grab hold of that truth. Mm-hmm. If not, then you are just making excuses, not bringing yourself to the fullness that God really wants you to come to. You know, and we're going to say daughters of God, too, out there for those ladies that are listening.
I like how you said an excuse.
Yeah, because they get to live their life.
Right, exactly.
They don't
get
have to do it.
Right. Oh, I'm just going to go to this place of bliss after I die. Well, I hate to tell you something. That's a lie from the pits of hell.
Yeah, it's
a lie.
Still small voice.
It's a lie.
And traditions and come in and do that.
Yeah, and if you want to hold on to that and roll the dice.
Good luck.
Yeah, God bless you.
Your life, not mine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because really, the reality is we can lead them to the pond. Yeah. We can't make them drink it. And, you know, I know in the beginning when God called us and, you know, he did some great things in our lives. And we had fire. I mean, and we still do have fire. We're still fired. But at that point, we didn't have the knowledge that we had. And we actually really cared about the spiritual well-being of these individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, burn. Go ahead and burn. I don't really care. Because we realize, too, God is the one who opens up their ears.
And their eyes, absolutely.
God opens up their eyes. And if they want to be encamped around that debased mind, if they want to be so stiff-necked and not hear the gospel message, and they want that lie to take them down that pit, have a party.
Hmm.
Have a party.
It's not like, I mean, this ministry has been around the world a few times.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with us not loving them less.
Right, exactly.
We love them deeply. It hurts deeply to see an individual get down and snared in the hands of darkness.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? You know, next thing is you take their arm and you fold it up behind their back and break it or something. I don't, you know, what do you do after that point? Got to let them go, right?
You got to let them go. And I you always fall back on that scripture. One plants a seed, one waters, but God gives the increase.
Right.
So you just, sometimes you just, you hang on that hope of God will open up their ears and their eyes, and we're not around, so our pride doesn't get pulled up. That's why I always fall on that.
Yeah, you're right. You know, you gotta hold on to hope.
Yeah.
And then you have to always check and double check.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you need to turn it upside down. Maybe you have to give it backwards. Maybe you have to show them with a little louder voice, or maybe you show them with a still small voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somehow, some way, try to do as all that you can do.
And, you know, I fall back. We went to India like 12 years ago or something, and I remember Jim was ministering to hundreds of people, and the people that you would have expected to receive what God was giving out at that time weren't the ones that received it. Because then we heard of, there was a young guy that was smuggling Bibles and stuff into China, and he was just, we're going to say, a nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who God wants, a nobody.
Mm-hmm.
that can preach his word, and was really, really touched through what God was doing.
I remember that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Remember those?
That he was a young guy.
That pastor, we had a pastor service.
Yes.
Where they brought all the new pastors up and everything.
They were all in the front of the line, and you sent them into the back.
Yeah, those. Yeah. That was another day.
But God is pouring out his spirit. And the way things are today, and how much they've changed. And I just look at, I have four children, and I have, my oldest is 24, my youngest is 12, and just in that 12-year span of when my oldest boy was my youngest boy's age, how much things have changed in this world in that short period of time. And I'm 55, it doesn't seem that long ago that I was 20 years old and how things have changed, but I just see in a 10-year, 12-year span how much things have changed and how rapidly they're changing. And the only way, because you can turn on the TV, you can get caught up in all this garbage that's going on out there. Let me tell you something right now. It's God allowing it.
Mm-hmm.
He's allowing it. Because who are going to be the true worshipers? Who are going to be the true sons and daughters of God? This is a big test out there right now. We're in exciting times right now, but you can't get a hold of the garbage that they're laying out there. You,
well, he, God does say, who this day you going to serve?
Yeah, amen.
He does give us a choice to serve him. You know, and we have to really ask ourselves, how are we going to live the rest of our lives? I look at the younger generation, and I hope and pray that they continue to strive for this life, because the knowledge that they have, I wish I had that knowledge when I was their age, you see, at that young age. That, to start this knowledge now, you know, it could be difficult, but
our vehicles are dented.
Life-changing.
Yeah.
But it could be life-changing.
Yeah.
You know, it could be a really good life. It's not too late for those that are our age, in their 50s. You know, there are a lot of individuals. Anybody here in our audience that went through a midlife crisis, you know, where they reached a certain age and they had epiphany and all of a sudden they had a midlife crisis? Is that, what is a midlife crisis? What is that? Is that like when one day you wake up and you
realize where you're at?
and then you say to yourself, what have I done? And where am I going? And what am I doing? Okay, we can look at that as a midlife crisis.
Yeah.
But we can also look at that as maybe God's just knocking on your door.
An awakening.
And waking you up saying, it's not too late. You can have a life now. You know, all right, I've given you your chance. Look at what you did. Now, it's not too late. You can have a life. You can have an eternal life. Mm. And I believe God's knocking on a lot of our doors right now, saying, you can have a life. You don't have to choose this life that you've been living all this time. There is more. There is more out there. You just have to ask yourself, you know, are you ready for more? And we here, through this gospel message, are giving you the keys of obtaining more. And you just have to keep listening and logging on. I mean, you're not going to get it all in 45 minutes.
No, but I guarantee you there's peace coming.
Oh, sure.
If you go back, go on our website at www.glorytothenations.org.
Yep.
There's archives in there. Pop a tape in. Every message in here is from the throne room of God. Trust us. You can listen to those tapes over and over again and get
more and more.
Yeah, more and more and more. It just keeps growing. And the more you grow in God, the more you'll get out of those tapes. You'll listen to one month, and you can turn that tape back on. Or it's not a tape. What are they called? A CD. Well, CD's outdated now, too. But digital audio, whatever. But anyway, you can do that 3 months later, and it'll give you it'll mean something totally different.
A download file.
Yeah. Whatever it is, the message is on there. Just point one out. It'll change your life.
We ran out of time. I want to thank all of our listeners, those that are here today, and those that are logged on or are even going to be logging on. I want to thank you for logging on, and please continue to follow. You know, we got Easter Sunday coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not sure how we're going to be speaking that message. And I'm sure it's not that traditional church that you'll find that we're going to talk about Jesus on the cross.
Right.
But, you know, we will maybe speak about the spiritual warfare about Jesus on the cross. Because
or a resurrection, right?
Yeah. Or can you imagine what he went through and what type of spiritual warfare he had to deal with to get through it? With that being said, let's give the Lord a hand of praise as we end this tonight. Amen. God bless.